Is it on? Yeah, it's on. Good morning. I'm going to wake you up. All right. I'm going to wake y'all up while I sit down. It is a blessing to be here. My wife and I, we got in Friday, and we got in, but our luggage didn't. So it finally came in yesterday. And so I would have been up here in blue jeans and tennis shoes. It'd been okay. I was telling somebody we were upset. I mean, we were upset, but then God tapped me on the shoulder and said, well, why did you come here? Amen. One for a fashion show. It was to preach the word of God. So whatever else happened was really irrelevant. You came to preach, be a light, learn and teach, and then go home with or without your luggage. So that's all that matters. And so we learned a good lesson right there. God was preaching a sermon the whole time. This morning, we're going to, God's will, I'm going to look at Psalm 23, a very famous set of scriptures. Generally read, most popularly read at funerals, you know, and it's associated with a sad situation because someone's dying or something like that, and we hear the psalm a lot. But we have to know this is not a sad set of scriptures. It's a very beautiful and relieving part of scripture. So when we read it, let's think about that, keep it on mind. Let us bow. Almighty God, thank you so much, Lord. None of us are here because we deserve it. None of us are here because we got life down. We're here because we want to glorify you. We know that following you is a plan. You set it up, it's your word. Let us live that according so the world may see our good deeds through the light and glorify you in heaven. Let us reach out. Let us be the kingdom that you designed. Let us function the way you want us to function. Let us know that it is because of you we're here, not ourselves. So have mercy upon us, Lord. Forgive us when we vary off, when we do things. Lord, just have mercy upon us. We need it. Thank you so much for everything. In Jesus' name we thank you. Amen. Amen. Everybody, hello. I'm going to give you an eye hug. I do that at church. When the COVID, when we came back from COVID, we used to call this thing, we do this thing called Love Feast. When I got up to preach, I would say Love Feast, and we all get just go around and hug one another stuff. Then COVID came, people like, So now we do eye hugs. The kingdom of God is a kingdom, and if you were raised in the United States, it's a good possibility you was taught the church as a religion. That's why you look around, you have a church here, church here, church here, church there. But when you look at the kingdom as the scriptures give, the Bible as a scripture give, it presents it as a kingdom. And a kingdom has four basic parts: the king, his law, his citizens, his territory. And so when we look at the church in that sense, we don't look at Franklin Street Church of Christ here and Airport Freeway Church of Christ there, and all of it is a part of the kingdom. One king, one law, one territory, one people. That makes sense? So everything is done for one purpose only. Could you read for me Psalm 23 and read verse 4, I believe it is. And this is where the everything is coming from. Psalm 23, and I believe it is
verse 4.
It is verse, wait, read verse 4. No. Read verse 3. Okay, this is in the middle of the psalm. This is David writing this psalm. And from what I hear, now this is what I hear, could be wrong. This is what I hear, could be wrong. This is what I hear, could be wrong. that David wrote this psalm in enemy territory in battle. So if this is true and he writes this, listen to what he said, verse 3 again.
You restored my soul, he leading me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake.
There you go. Everything we do is for that last part, what you just read.
Namesake.
Everything in life is for his name's sake. Why does God bless you? Because his namesake. Remember kingdom? Do you know a king owns the kingdom? Y'all gonna hear this again because it's part of my sermon. The king owns the kingdom. He owns it. It's his possession. The king's job is to represent the king. The king's job is to take care of the kingdom. The kingdom's job, the citizen, is to represent the king. That's our job. So if the king wants us to represent him, then he has to give us stuff, you understand, to be represented by. If my mother used to say, boy, don't, when you leave this house, we talked about this yesterday, you leave this house, you keep on a good pair, a clean pair of underwear. You never know what's going to happen. You in a car wreck, and they up to have to take your clothes off, you got dirty clothes on, they're going to make me look bad. I said, Mama, if I'm in a car wreck, you worried about my underwear? That's the job of the king, is to make sure you look good. Why? For his name's sake. Why does God bless you? For his name's sake. Everything for a Christian is God, from the smallest insignificant situation to the largest life-changing, everything from there and in between is God. There's nothing ever, ever, ever from losing your luggage or from losing a wrapper on a piece of candy. Nothing is on the outside of God. So when David writes this, he says what in Psalm 23:1?
He says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want.
The Lord is my shepherd. What happened? I shall not want. Now, who takes care of the sheep? The shepherd. Is it the sheep's job to take care of itself? No. It's the shepherd's job. You know what God said about us in Jeremiah? He said, it is not in man to direct his own path. Man can't do it. You're not smart enough to save enough money to take care of your future. You don't have enough money. There's not enough money. You're not smart enough to take care of your own health. You're not smart enough. You're not healthy enough. There's a man who wrote a book on jogging. Healthy guru. Died of a heart attack while jogging. God didn't put you here to take care of yourself. Well, why do I get a job, Brother Nunley? So I can take care of my family? No, no, nope. You get a job. Why? Because on your job is a harvest field ready to be picked. Matthew 9, Jesus came and he said to his apostles, he says, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Pray to the Lord of a harvest that he may send more reapers or harvesters. Well, what is a harvest? It's not a crop. Harvest is a condition of the crop. Not that all crops is ready to be harvested. You know what I'm saying? Harvest is a time. It is what we call God's kairos, his opportune time. It's ready. So I get a job to protect myself and fit? No. You get a job so you can be a harvester. There ain't nothing to do with protecting and taking care of yourself. That's not your job. It's not the sheep's job. It's not the citizen's job to go take care of himself. In a kingdom, the citizens don't get up and get the pitchforks and stuff and go start shooting. They have a military for that. What is it called? God's host. Host means army. God has ones in our citizenship to battle our battles. Why? It's the king's job to take care of the citizens. What is the citizen's job? To make the king look good. So the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Do you know what God just did? He gave you avenue for peace. What is he saying? It's not your responsibility to take care of your health, your livelihood. It's not your responsibility. Well, Brother Nunley, am I supposed to take care of it and use it right? Yes, but your taking care of it and using it right does not sustain it. You can eat all the greens and drink all the green juice you want. When it's time for you to go, you're gone. Psalm 139, I know the number of days you would have before you had one. God is trying to get us to focus, bring our attention not to us, but to him. That's why in Christian, everything's about God. Everything's about God. So when the Lord is my shepherd, sheep don't walk around here going, oh man, I gotta go find some feed and food and I need to go find some water. And sheep don't do that. Sheep looking around, they sitting around there and the shepherd come, they go. And they go right back to where they're supposed to go. Why? They're sheep. David, great David, he compared himself to a dumb animal. Sheeps are dumb. Sheep, dumb animal. They said a sheep will eat itself off a cliff. Just off the cliff. Why? They don't take care of themselves. And David's trying to get us to get in that same mentality. You don't take care of yourself. You live to represent the king. When you do that, the laws of the king take care of you. That's why he said, when you go to work, he told you what Ephesians 6, work as unto the Lord. He said, for a good boss or a bad one, you work as unto the Lord. Why? I have a plan. It's designed to make you set on top. He said in the Old Testament, I will make you the head, not the tail, the lender, not the borrower. That's God's plan. That's his plan. But how many of us sat there, boy, we start worrying? Why? Because we think, I got to do it. How many Christians every Sunday come to church? I owe, it's off to church I go. How many? I got to work to the kingdom. I told people, I'm not trying to go to heaven, I'm going. Amen. Why? Thus saith the Lord. How do I know? Because it's for his name's sake. I don't come to church because I'm trying to get to heaven. I come to church because I'm going. I don't serve God and do this stuff because I'm trying to. I'm going to heaven. God promised that. Didn't he say that? And all the promises of God, 2 Corinthians 1:18, all the promises of God are what? Yes, in Christ Jesus. I told all the people who are baptized, I said, now you have salvation. You have the love of God. Stop trying to get it. You got it already. My wife right there in the purple. My wife back there in the purple. I love that woman. Amen. Ups and down, I love that woman. Every day, I never try to get her love. Amen. You know why? I got it. ching, ching, I got it. See, so I'm not trying to get her love. I do stuff because I got it. I'm not trying to get God's love, his salvation, his peace. I got it. That's why I keep walking away. When you walk in the paths of righteousness, You see, man, you start seeing a light, you know, I'm keep going. So the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. What does that sound I want? God is trying to get us into a particular mentality to think, my clothes, they're lost. And God is saying, son, why are you here? It's not for clothes. I want you to think on a higher level. I tell the church where I minister, I said, God wants us to live selflessly so we can live selfishly in heaven. I'll exchange selfless for selfish. You see? I'm going to live, hey, if I got to, for you and keep going and forgive and love, and although you do me wrong, I'm going to keep doing it. Why? Because in heaven, I got it. For eternity. Amen. Eternity. Jesus asked the question in Matthew 16. He said, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and lose his soul? What is he saying? Let's say, I was looking up this morning, the richest man, well, he's second now, but used to be Elon Musk. Richest man in the world, billions, 187. There's some guy now worth over him $211 billion. Let's say you had that times a million. Let's say you had the health of a guru. Let's say you had the looks of me. I was joking. I'm joking. You know that's wrong. Let's say you had the best looks, best health, and every generation came through, you could relate to them and stuff, and you lived 1,000 years. If you don't have God, you lost. Let's say every day is a parade, every day for 1,000 years. That 1,000 years is going to end. And then you got to face eternity without God. As Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4, I believe it is, he said, the stuff that we go through today compares nothing to the joy we have in eternity. Nothing. So the Lord can be my shepherd. Yeah, because I don't care about stuff. It's stuff. You know all the stuff we work hard for? All this stuff, as a woman at church said, she said, all the stuff we work hard for, she said, when we get old, we can't pay people to take it. You ever been to those estate sales? Yeah. You know what I'm saying? And they're trying to get rid of, this thing was so valuable while you was doing this. Then you can somebody walk past and just look at it. I'll give you a dime for it. You see what I'm saying? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. In other words, my God is going to take care of me. I don't need to go out and get it. What am I working for? I know somebody whose soul is lost, and God needs a representative, and I will be that on the job every day. I will come here on time. I will work like I'm supposed to. I will forgive like I will do this. I will do this. I will do this. Why? God needs a representative. 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, we are ambassadors. We don't carry our own flag. We work for the flag. And when you get to that point, you start worrying. Oh, this didn't work out. That's okay. Oh, I didn't get this. Okay. Well, why are you so calm? I'm not here for this stuff. I'm here for you. I'm here for your soul. I'm trying to get you to be the point to where you stop complaining and then where you start looking up instead of down. Because I know that my Redeemer lives. And the song we sing at church all the time, this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasure's all laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't live at home in this world anymore. You know what? I never thought about that, but you know that song says, this world is not my home, I'm just passing through. And then it says, the angels beckon me. You know what that means? The angels are saying, will you hurry up and die and get up here? That's what he's saying. Will you leave, stop worrying about all that stuff and come on? Well, I can't, Kim, I'm not talking about you killing yourself. I'm talking about you spending your time and energy for the kingdom. And God will take you up at the right time. Notice, there's when you die, God's intent for you to say is just like what Paul said. I fought a good fight. I kept the faith. I finished the course. Whew, I'm ready to go. When you die, you're supposed to be at your coffin like this. Okay, let's go. Got too many Christians kicking and screaming and fighting. The angels coming to get them, take them. No! No! Holding on to this earth. This is not your home. This is not your home. I'm 58 years old, and man, my body is telling me, this is not your body. It belongs to this earth. You don't believe me? Because I'll start turning you back to dust in just a little bit. You know, that's it. God is calling us to a higher standard. And he says it. David, King David says, I'm a sheep. I need a shepherd. And because the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores. He makes me. He leads me. He makes me. He makes me. He makes me. What is God doing? Why does God make me? Because God has a plan. That's why you can't love your wife the way you want to. You have to love her the way God said. That's God's plan. That's why you can't love your husband the way you want to. You got to love him the way God said to. Why? He has a plan. He has a plan that's going to make this world say there is a God. That's why you can't raise your children the way you want to. Can't let your children run around here and talk to you anyway. Why? Because God said, nope, nope, not mine. You in my kingdom. Amen. You're in my kingdom. You don't get to, you don't allow your children to talk to you anyway, or you can give your kid, you ever see kids give their parents the beatbox? That's no. That's not the way you allow kids to talk to you. You don't allow kids to act anywhere, look there and roll down, whatever. Mm-mm. You would say that in my house? Boy, you, the next thing you would have seen is Jesus at the end of a tunnel. Why? Because my parents knew you got to raise your children according to God's plan, Ephesians 6. Raise your children in God's nurture and admonition. That's the plan. Why? He has something to make. And he uses me as his representative. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. Those green pastures represent prosperity. He leads me beside quiet waters. You know, sheep are, you know, as a friend says, sheepish. Sheep don't like rapids. They don't drink in rapids. Water has to be still. What is that? That's peace. He restores my soul. He builds me. He's my energy. He's my source. What verse 3 says? He leads me in paths of righteousness. Why? For his name's sake. Everything for a Christian is God. That's why the church is falling a lot, because we have come to the point to where we think, well, I get to do and talk what I want. This is America. America's not going to judge you. America's not going to judge you. The Constitution and rights are not going to judge you. As a matter of fact, in the kingdom, citizens don't have rights. They have orders. So where's our plan? He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Now here come the devil. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, what happened? I will fear no evil. When my suitcase is lost, I'm still good. When my job is lost, I'm still good. When my health is lost, I'm still good. When my loved ones are taken away, I'm still good. Why? It's just a shadow. Death is near, but it's just a shadow. Why? Because in the kingdom, we don't die. We don't die. I like how Paul said in 1 Thessalonians, he said, we sleep. When you sleep, you wake up. And when you wake up, you're going to wake up to the Lord God Almighty. And what are you going to say? Come on in, my beloved son, my beloved daughter. Come on in. You got something better? That's why God said, man, the kingdom. Oh, my goodness. I love reading about the kingdom. I love Emmett and I was talking. We went to this place, he was preaching. He didn't even know it. He was lifting me up so much. The stuff you were saying, preaching, was like just building me. And I was like, yeah, I'm preaching tomorrow. Oh, Emmy got me going. Thank you, preacher. I'm serious. Just the stuff we was talking about. That stuff is kingdom jargon. That's the life we have. He said, man, he makes me to do it. He's going to take care of me. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Thou art with me. And here's the real life part. Thy rod and your staff. What do? They comfort. You know, that's the problem with a lot of kids nowadays. You notice in the last 20 years, mental illnesses have shot up. Prescription for mental illnesses have shot up. Why? Because there is a lack of discipline and guidance in the home. So where there's my rod and staff, they comfort me. Where there's no rod, no staff, I get jittery. That's why you have all these kids with all these nervous. When I was a kid, you didn't have people with depression and stuff. That wasn't the norm. Kids weren't put on Ritalin. That wasn't the norm. You know what the Ritalin was? When your daddy said, come here. I'm in my head asthma. Poor daddy said, okay, I'm going to beat that asthma out of you the next time you get up out of that seat when I said not to. And I'm not talking about being abusive, no. But you know when you don't use the rod, that's also abuse? Yeah. Amen. Amen. No, we have a king and a kingdom to represent. And guess who? I saw this movie and the guy said a line, it was a great line. He said, there's two things I'm sure of. There is a God and it's not me. There is a God and it's not me. So what should I do? Humble thyself in the sight of the Lord. So man, that's it. I see the peace of God because God said, I got you. I got you. Even when loved ones fall, when I was in my young 20s, wasn't married, and I was out there. I was living and stuff, and my mother said, I used to worry about you. But God dawned on me that you're a child of his. My mother said that gave her so much peace. Even at times when I was acting a fool, my mother said, there's something that God's hand put on my shoulder and said, I'm going to get them. Don't worry. That's the king's job. Your job is just to be a light. That's your job. He said, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, your rod and your staff. They comfort me. the blessing. Thou prepareth a table before me. Where? Of where? While I'm still living, God lets my enemy see I won.
Amen. Amen.
My enemies, and you know what I picture? I picture my enemies of all my sins, and I have them. And they're embodied in the human body, but the arms are tied so they can't strike me. The feet is bound so it can't kick me or run. The mouth is gagged so it can't curse me, but his eyes are wide open because God wants him to see my victory over him. Amen. You can pat on that. God wants my enemy to see when I struggle. If you're struggling with drug abuse, God said, come here, drugs. Sit down. I want you to see something.
Yes.
Come here, struggling relationship. Because I'm going to tell you something. When you got baptized, you didn't and going up to heaven. You stayed here. And if you went in that water struggling with sin, you came out struggling with sin. Am I right? But why, Lord? Why am I still here? Because she struggled with it. He struggled with it. She struggled. He struggled with it. And I want you to show them all how to live. Christians don't walk around, I'm just trying to make it, Lord. No, that's not in the kingdom. That's not in the kingdom. But that's what we've been taught. Come to church. I'm just waiting, hoping the Lord, he's done it already. Didn't he say in Isaiah, by his stripes, I'm healed? He did it over 2,000 years ago. And I'm still trying to get it. Oh, Lord, if you just love me, Lord, if you just, I want, please hear my cry. That's not the prayers of the saints. My children come to me. Boy, my children don't mind asking for money. Does your? They don't, your grandkids, they don't mind them. They love it. They don't come up going, may I have some water? They don't do that. They come, why? Because mom and daddy gonna give that to me. That's the way we approach the throne. Dear God, almighty God, daddy, you know me. Daddy, you know tomorrow I'm gonna stumble over that same sin. But I'm gonna keep on walking. Why? Because you have already forgiven me. Preacher, isn't that right? That's the life. That's what God is calling us to. Heard this preacher, Miles Monroe. Anybody heard of preacher Miles Monroe? Miles Monroe said this something. I like what he said. He said, religion produces practice. Kingdoms produce culture. It's our nature to give. That's our nature. It's our nature to love. Why? We have the spirit of love in us. We're not trying to present a practice of coming to church and practice sitting down and going through religious calisthenics. That's not what God trying to produce. Do you think he sent Jesus to do what he did just so you could come and sit in a pew? This is part of our culture. That's why it says, don't forsake the assembly of yourselves together as a man of some is, but rather build one another up. That's why you're here. It's an audience of one, and we all are building each other up. That's why when we sing the song, this world is not
my home. I'm just a passing through. What time is the minutes going to be through so I can go somewhere else?
That's not the way we worship. We worship here. Why? We're coming together. I'm a football man. And before the games, what y'all don't see is that team get together. They come outside and that guy's like, what are they doing? They're building each other up. Why? We getting ready to go to war. Let's go. That's what worship is about. Worship said, look here, tomorrow you got to go and you got to go on that job and meet Mr. Thompson. Let's go. Let's go. That's what it's all about. That's the worship. This world is not my home. I'm just. That's what worship is for. It's to build us up so we can go out into the battlefield. There was a church on the exit. What time should I quit?
About 20 minutes.
Oh. On the back of the exit sign of a church, it says, you are now entering into the harvest. When you leave on the exit sign of that church, it says, you are now entering into the harvest. Where is church functioning? Not only in the building, in the ride home, at the grocery store, at home, at school, at work, at play. That's where you're always the church. Do you know before COVID, they said most people spent 70% of their time, guess where? At work, on their jobs. People talking about, who's going knocking doors? You got a harvest field on your job.
Amen.
And they go knock doors. I'm not saying against it, but go knock doors on the cubicle next to you. Because when you allow the church to magnify the Spirit of God on your job, then guess what? Your boss start coming to you. Hey, man, I need to talk to you. Hey, what do you think we should do? Why don't you head up? Why? Because when the nature of God goes throughout the world glorifies him.
Amen.
And they come to you and say, preacher, can I talk to you? Will you mind taking over this thing right here? And then when you get it, you say, thank you, God. What's my mission?
Yes, Lord.
He said, go to work. Be on time. Do your job like you're supposed to. You know, so, you know, some people break out their Bible on the job and run people away. You know, we break up. You want to preach a sermon? Do your job. You want to preach a sermon? You want to preach the gospel? Be on time. You want to preach the gospel? How you doing? Somebody cuss at you? Smile at them back. Preach Proverbs 15:1. A soft answer turns away strife. Preach that sermon. I remember I used to drive Uber. It's this Middle Eastern guy, he had this heavy voice and he was mad because for some reason my Uber thing wouldn't let me get to where he was. And finally I got there and he was hot. And he got in the car and rolling his eyes on the phone. Somebody, he was fussing to somebody on the phone. He's, I don't know, just deep voice. When he got in the car, I said, I got him. And I didn't go, oh, I'm sorry, sir. I didn't do that. Why? Because I'm God's son. I was like, man, I'm sorry. I couldn't get there. Yeah, but so am I said, but I couldn't do it. But I'm here now. Let's go. And I start talking to him. First, he didn't want to talk. At the end of the ride, when that man got out, he says, thank you, my friend. Closed the door and left.
Amen.
I was like, hey. That's the power. When Jesus talked about the kingdom of heaven, he talks about it in power. Power. You thinking that, ooh, okay, I get mad. Oh, put, okay, I'll come and fight you too. This is not your best position. This is your best position. God is calling us. Man, he wants us to take over the world. That's why he said in Matthew 6, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. What? Thy kingdom come. There you go, preacher. Kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Man, bring the glory of God. You know what the glory means? It's weight. It's character. The heavy weight of God's character. When you lean in on somebody who just want to be mean to you, and you lean on them on with the love of God, after a while, that weight get too heavy for them. I'm tired of fighting you. You too heavy. Some of them trying to fight and argue with you, you smiling and hugging on me. Get off me. I don't want to fight. Kingdom of heaven is power. It's power. It's not just religious talk. It's power. God said, go in there. Why do you have this job at McDonald's flipping burgers and frying fries? I don't want to work there. Son, I'm trying to teach you how to take over. You remember David? Where was he before he became king? He was in the field minding sheep. I'm trying to get you from the fry station to ownership. Pay attention. Follow my lead. I lead you through paths of righteousness. I'm preaching already. I'm sorry. Leading you path of righteousness. Why? My name's sake. I got a purpose. I'm doing something. God is calling us, preacher. Psalm 23 is something that's letting me know God is saying everything is about me, not you. I want you to get a chance. You write this down. If you're writing down, read Ezekiel chapter 36. Read Isaiah chapter 65. Psalm. It's some beautiful stuff in there. This God is just simply telling us, especially in Ezekiel 36, I believe it's 1-9 or something like that. It says, I didn't give you, he's telling the children of Israel, he said, you're about to go in and possess the land of Canaan. But I'm not giving it to you because of your righteousness, because you are stiff-necked and stubborn people. I'm giving it to you for my name's sake. I want to bless you. Although you're cursing me, every step of the way, you're cursing me and trying to go, I'm going to take you on in and let you stand up. And you know why? So when you get there, you can look at how pitiful you are and drop to your knees and say, I'm sorry. That's the God we serve. I grew up thinking that God was on a throne with a lightning bolt waiting for me to mess up. I've learned this, that God not sitting on a lightning bolt with a weight. God has built laws in nature that will punish you themselves. What did he say in Galatians 6? Whatever man sowed, God's not punishing you. He put laws. If you go on top of this building and jump off, there's a law called gravity that will punish you. You could jump up there and say, I rebuke you, gravity, in the name of Christ. You're still going to fall. Why? Those things. God's not sitting there trying to chase you down. If God wanted to chase you, believe me, he wouldn't have to run far at all. The way God designed it, everything is about him. If you make your life that way, he said in Romans, we are more than conquerors. Trying to do something that God says, I want you to have. I want you to have it, young man. I want you to have it. But if you keep trying to get it yourself, you will fail. And not only fail, but fail miserably. But God is saying, I want you to come. And God is not trying to produce in you a habit. He's trying to produce in you a way of life to where you can say, I sin, I struggle, but I'm God's. And I'll never stop walking toward him. Even if I fall, I'm going to keep walking toward him. If I get off path, I'm going to keep walking toward him. You know why? Because when that happens, what does the last verse say in Psalm 23? Surely, the twins, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And what happened? I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Do you have a better deal? You don't. You don't have a better deal, I'm telling you. Oh, my goodness, my God is so merciful to me and my ignorant self. Oh, I don't preach because I got it down. I preach because God sent me. You understand? I'm not here because, ooh, yeah, I got this, my life, I'm working stuff out, I'm working it. No, I don't have it down because I could drop it in a second. God is my sustainer. And how he sustains me? By simply walking in his path. What did he say in Psalm 119, 105? Thy word is a lamp and a light unto my path. Wherever I go, every step I take, before I take it, there's some light in it that said, come this way. That's what God wants. If you live that way, brother man, God will make you a tower wherever you are. That's why he said the faith is a mustard seed. He said that's the smallest seed in the kingdom. But when that seed grows, he said birds come and make their home in it. God wants people to come to you and say, hey, I'm about ready to do this. Teach me. Show me. What should I do? How should I do it? Brother, I'm not going to leave unless you come with me. That's why God is saying, I want you to take over the world. He has a plan. And I say this especially to young folks. Young folks, God is calling you. Don't think God is waiting for you to get to adult or own this. No, God's calling you young. Why? Because Satan is calling you young. I'm about ready to close. What time am I close?
Ring the bell.
Okay. When I had a little nephew 2 years old in California. I had a nephew 2 years old in California. And while I was making a fire. And being a kid, he didn't really know. He just wanted to crawl up, and I stopped him. I said, no, don't do that. And I went on making the fire, and he crawled again. I grabbed him and said, no, don't do that. This little big head boy, you know what he did? I'm sitting here, and I know he tried. So I turned and kept him in my peripheral. Guess what he was doing? At 2. He knew if I want to get to that fire, I got to trick Uncle Larry. At 2. People act like, oh, they don't. Yes, they do. Yes, they do. They might not have it all in their conscience the way you do it and I do as an adult, but yes, they do. That little pretty little girl back there, boy, she got some things that she could think of. Oh, I got to have the mama. I'm gonna. God is calling you, bro. Don't wait till, oh, I got to. No, God's calling you now. He called the unqualified to qualify him. Y'all, that's my time. I went over. Thank you so much. I love you, Franklin. God bless you. And we're going to get it done. Let us bow. Thank you so much, God, for your love, your mercy, your kindness. I love this, Lord. Thank you for this. And I pray you bless all of us and let us worship you in spirit and in truth. In Jesus' name, amen.